This video is made possible by Skillshare. The first 1,000 people who follow the link down in my description will get a free full month access to Skillshare Premium. This is the Sahara Desert, and it's one of the most hostile locations to human life found anywhere on the planet. The average human will die after going approximately 3 days without any water. But in the Sahara, rainfall and clouds are almost non-existent, which makes water incredibly difficult to come by, and it enables light to pound the surface with intense thermal radiation that can quickly give you both heat stroke and intense sunburns if you're not careful. It's also one of the hottest locations in the world too, with the entire desert generally having a high temperature above 40 degrees Celsius during the summer months, with certain locations that can hit as high as 45, 46, or even 47 degrees under exceptional circumstances. And the sand itself can get even more extreme than that, with temperatures easily reaching 80 degrees Celsius or even higher, enough to severely burn you when you touch it. Massive dust storms the size of entire countries can erupt at any moment, full of billions of superheated tiny sand particles that can rip apart at your flesh, your eyes, and your throat if you're foolish or desperate enough to breathe it in. To make matters even more severe, the Sahara is also a titanically sized place. The desert is over 1 million square kilometers larger than the continental United States is, and it's nearly all a barren wasteland devoid of any water, cloud cover, or life. While the mainland United States is home to more than 320 million people, the Sahara is home to a mere 2.5 million, making it one of the emptiest landmasses found anywhere on the planet, where you're the least likely to ever find another human being who is able to help you. Without a doubt, this place is among the worst locations in the entire world to find yourself stranded in the middle of all alone. But for 9 excruciatingly agonizing days, one man found himself in this exact situation and, incredibly, managed to survive long enough to tell his story about how he made it out. This is how one man survived the impossible. In 1986, humanity created what is probably the most grueling and physically demanding race of all time, the Marathon des Sables. Located entirely within the depths of the Sahara Desert in southeastern Morocco, this ultra-marathon race spans for 251 kilometers and is run entirely by participants on foot over the course of 6 incredibly challenging days. Besides the sheer distance that's involved here, runners also had to contend with the intense heat, the intense isolation, and incredibly difficult terrain. In 1994, an Italian man named Mauro Prosperi decided to compete in this ultimate of endurance races, and he was incredibly well prepared for the task. He was a very accomplished runner who had already won a gold medal during the Olympic Games in the modern pentathlon, and he was now looking to challenge himself even further. To prepare, he had been running for 40 kilometers a day and reduced his daily drinking water intake in order to acclimatize his body to the sense of dehydration. In the blistering summer heat of 1994 in the middle of the Sahara at the age of 39 years, Prosperi began the race here inside of Morocco with about 80 other participants and was well equipped in case he got lost. But since there were so few participants, all with different paces, running across dozens of kilometers every day, everybody was effectively running by themselves for a majority of the race along a predetermined and marked trail. As a result, everybody, including Prosperi, had to be completely self-sufficient. At all times, he had a backpack with extra food, clothes, a sleeping bag, compass, a portable stove, and an emergency kit, with one signal flare just in the event of getting lost. Water was provided to each runner at predetermined checkpoints along the entire route. The race consisted of 6 stages across 6 days, and for the first few days, Prosperi made very good progress and remained on track. On day 1, he ran for 18 miles. Day 2 was another 22 miles. Day 3 was 25 more miles. And finally, he began day 4, the most challenging day of the entire race that demanded a distance of more than 53 miles to cover in under 24 hours. By the early afternoon on this day, Prosperi was still making good progress and had put himself in 4th place of the entire race. But he was running alone, and the temperature had hit a peak of 46 degrees Celsius. This incredibly intense heat increased the surface air's temperature, which in turn created swirling winds that gradually, over the day, transformed into a sandstorm. At about 20 miles into the day's run and nearly halfway through, the wind began to pick up, and he began to cut across the smaller sand dunes in order to increase his pace. But as he did this, the wind got stronger and began picking up more and more sand before turning into a severe level sandstorm, which significantly obscured his vision. Mauro Prosperi was now faced with a critical decision. He could choose to remain in place and wait the storm out, but he feared potentially falling behind from his lead in the race if he did so, and the sandstorm was just so intense. He was also genuinely concerned about being buried alive if he remained still. Instead, he chose the other option, convinced that he could still see the race's path and determined to maintain his strong lead and performance. He chose to continue running and follow along what he believed was the proper trail. The brutal sandstorm ended up lasting for more than 8 hours, and Prosperi continued running for that entire time. During those 8 hours, he had no choice but to continue breathing in the air that was now filled with billions of fast-moving, razor-sharp grains of sand. As a result, he was now experiencing serious bleeding within his nose and his mouth. But that was the least of his concerns. After the storm passed and his vision was restored, Prosperi finally realized that the race trail was nowhere to be seen. Unconcerned and without realizing how bad his situation had become, Prosperi simply laid out his sleeping bag on the desert floor, placed a towel over his face, and rested. The following morning was day one of one of the worst ordeals a human being can possibly experience. He awoke and continued to run with good vision for another 4 hours, convinced that he would encounter someone else from the race eventually, but he never did. He finally climbed on top of a tall sand dune, and what he saw must have been bone-chillingly terrifying. What he saw was nothing in every direction. No people, no trail, and no landmarks that he was familiar with as far as the horizon in every direction. By this point, he had also gone nearly 24 hours without refilling his water bottle at a race checkpoint, and had precious little still remaining. He could have been literally anywhere within the desert for all he knew, and was completely alone without any help. All of a sudden realizing the immense gravity of the situation that he was now in, he instinctively urinated in his spare water bottle in order to recycle his fluids, and abiding to the race regulations, he stood still in place and awaited his rescue from a race helicopter. He remained in this position and situation for hours until the sunset when he finally noticed a lone low-flying helicopter flying directly towards his position. Obviously, Prosperi assumed that this helicopter was searching for him to rescue, and he quickly pulled out and fired the single signal flare that he carried with him within his backpack. The problem was, though, that this was a small and faint signal flare, only about the size of a pen, and as a consequence, the helicopter never saw it and continued just flying directly over him and then disappeared over the horizon, never to be seen by Prosperi again. In the years since then, runners are now equipped with significantly more heavy-duty maritime flares to avoid something like this from ever happening again. Absolutely crushed by this sudden hope and massive disappointment, Prosperi once again fell asleep and arose on the morning of day two to continue on. With temperatures still hovering around in the 40s Celsius, he feared that remaining stationary for much longer would result in serious heat stroke for himself. So, he took out his compass, but all he could see was sand in every direction. So, he didn't even know which way he should begin. Regardless, he set out to find some shade and water. After several more hours of walking, he stumbled across a Bedouin Muslim shrine in the sands. Elated, he rushed towards the structure, only to find that it had been long since abandoned. For the next 2 days, Prosperi would use this abandoned shrine as his shelter, hoping against all the odds to be found there. During these 2 days, he rationed his small supply of food left in his backpack and cooked them with fresh urine on his portable burner. He attempted to maintain his hydration levels by sucking on wet wipes, licking dew off of rocks in the morning, and continuing to drink his own urine. Eventually, he decided to climb on top of the shrine to plant a small Italian flag that he was carrying with him in the hope that maybe it would attract some attention or serve as evidence for his whereabouts in the event of his death. But while up there, he discovered a small colony of bats within a tower that he promptly killed in order to drink their blood for further nourishment. On day 4 of his ordeal, and after 2 days remaining at the shrine, Prosperi finally noticed something else incredible. An airplane flying directly overhead. Increasingly desperate for rescue, Prosperi began to frantically draw the SOS signal in the sand and, without a second signal flare, he lit his backpack on fire instead to create a smoke signal. But unfortunately for him, just as he set his own backpack ablaze, another devastating sandstorm swept across his position that this time lasted for 12 hours. The plane flying overhead never saw him, or his smoke signal, or his SOS, and help still remained elusive, leaving Mauro Prosperi still stranded. Having failed a second time to be rescued now, and drastically low on supplies after 4 whole days alone in the desert, Prosperi had lost all hope he had of being rescued and was now convinced that he was going to die a slow and agonizing death within the shrine. He believed that if he continued on walking through the desert, he would probably die in a location where nobody would ever find his body, which would severely negatively affect his wife's livelihood back home. In Italy, if someone goes missing without a body discovered, you have to wait for 10 years before they could legally be declared as dead. So if he went missing in the desert, his wife would likely never get his police pension for a decade. And so, in order to spare himself the slow and painful death that he was sure he'd experience, and in order to ensure that his wife would be provided for, Prosperi decided to commit suicide within the shrine where his body would certainly be discovered eventually. He wrote a farewell message, and using his small pocket knife, he slashed his wrists and he lay down to sleep, fully prepared and expecting to bleed to death. But by the morning of day 5, Prosperi awoke alive to find only minimal bleeding on his wrists. Due to his extreme level of dehydration and small incisions from the tiny knife, the blood in his veins had simply clotted instead of freely flowing out, and he suddenly found a resurgence in his confidence and the determination to survive. He gathered his limited remaining supplies, and after noticing a chain of mountains out on the horizon, he departed from the shrine and into the vast unknown towards wherever those mountains led him, daring only to walk when the temperatures were cooler during the mornings and evenings. At night, he would dig a pit in the sand and cover his body up with that sand in order to insulate himself during the cool nights. And during the day, when the temperatures were unbearably hot, he would shield himself in the shade against cliffs, dunes, caves, or beneath scattered trees, always walking straight towards those mountains in the distance that were getting larger and larger with each passing day. After more than 3 days of this endless wandering and without seeing anything, he by chance finally stumbled upon an oasis with a puddle of water within the sandy abyss. He rushed towards it, but due to the almost fatal level of dehydration he was now experiencing, his throat and mouth were so severely swollen that he couldn't possibly swallow. Instead, he had to lay alongside the puddle for hours and gradually sip what he could with his hands. He spent that night sleeping next to it, and on the morning of day 9 since he disappeared from the race, filled up his water container and continued walking towards those mountains. After several hours of walking this day, he finally stumbled upon a miracle: fresh goat droppings. He followed this trail and eventually discovered a series of fresh human footprints within the sands as well. And after following those, he eventually discovered a little girl alone with some goats, the first other human being he had seen in about 10 days. Ecstatic, he ran towards her pleading for help, but terrified, the girl ran away from him and disappeared over a dune. He followed her and eventually came upon a series of tents belonging to the nomadic Tuareg people. And there, he was attended to by some of the camp before getting picked up by a patrol of the local military police. The police took him to a hospital, and it was then that Mauro Prosperi truly learned just how far off course from the race trail he had actually stumbled. He was no longer even in Morocco, but in Algeria. While unwittingly crossing the border, he had wandered 180 miles off course from the race path and successfully traversed the Jebel Bani mountain range. For an American comparison, that's pretty much as bad as running a marathon in New York City and getting so lost that you accidentally ran all the way to Boston. And during this whole ordeal, Mauro Prosperi had lost 33 pounds of weight and was effectively a skeleton of his former self at only 99 total pounds of weight. He required 16 liters of intravenous fluids to replenish his water loss. His liver was damaged to the point where he could only consume liquids for months, while his kidneys experienced permanent damage from all of the urine that he was forced to drink. It took nearly 2 years for him to recover from the 10-day ordeal, but he had survived the impossible all the same. After 7 days in the hospital in Algeria, he finally was able to fly home to be reunited with his wife and family. And ever since, Mauro Prosperi has incredibly returned to the Marathon des Sables to compete 6 different times, and noticeably placed in 13th during the 2001 race. 7 years after his near-death survival experience, and last year in 2020, he finally published a book detailing his entire ordeal titled Those 10 Days Beyond Life, that you can read so long as you understand Italian. I haven't been able to find out if the book is currently offered in any other languages, but I do know that writing an entire book about anything is a massive creative project to undertake. Perhaps there's a project or a personal goal that you've been excited to start recently that's similar, but you're unsure that you have the skills required to go about doing it just yet. So whether you're looking to get started writing your own stories or creating your own YouTube channel or any other big project, the best place to get started is over on Skillshare. 5 years ago, I was in the exact same position as you. The project I wanted to start was my YouTube channel, but I had absolutely zero idea what I was doing or how to even get started. I never went to school for animation or art, and I doubted my abilities to create anything that anyone would actually ever want to watch. In the end, I had to teach myself over the years by watching tutorial videos online here on YouTube. But eventually, I got introduced to Skillshare, and through targeted classes like this one called Make Animated YouTube Videos by Evan from Polymatter, who's since become my friend, I accelerated my learning even further. The classes on Skillshare are from real professionals with tons of experience in what they're talking about, who guide you step by step throughout the process, and all of it is specifically curated for learning without any ads getting between you and your goals. If you want to start creating your own videos like mine, this is a perfect place to get started, but regardless of what it is you might want to do, Skillshare has options like this for nearly everything. Maybe you want to learn how to get started writing that story or book you've been putting off. There's an excellent class for that by Simon Van Boy over there called The Writer's Toolkit, 6 Steps to a Successful Writing Habit. Or maybe you just want to improve your own productivity and motivation in general. My friend Ali Abdal has the perfect option for this with his class, Productivity Masterclass, Principles and Tools to Boost Your Productivity. The greatest thing about Skillshare, though, is that when you become a member, you can take any of these classes, as well as thousands of others, on nearly any subject you can imagine, ranging from animation and graphic design to web development and drawing and more, any of which can help you find a new passion, help you get ahead in school, or give you the skills needed for career advancement. It's the absolute perfect activity for whenever you have a lot of free time, or when you're staying at home, and with its varying difficulty levels, it's still great whether you're a beginner or an expert. And best of all, you can watch absolutely all of these classes and get started today with an entire month-long trial completely for free by being one of the first 1,000 people who follow the link down below in my description. By doing this, you can achieve all of your own personal learning goals, and it really helps support real-life lore at the same time. So go ahead and check them out, and as always, thank you for watching.